you'd see a heart full of love just for you. A tear may appear when I hold you near, but that's for the sweet things you do. If see a heart full of love just for you, by your side I will stay till we're old and gray, reminiscing the moments we knew. If full of love just for you. A thief couldn't steal the joy. Heart full of love just for you. Oh, by your side I will stay till we're old and gray, reminiscing the moments we knew. If
stand up and salute while we play the Redneck National Anthem.
Redneck, don't give a darn, a redneck. Raised on a farm, I'm a redneck. I'm a six-pack king, I'm a redneck. Just a doing my thing, a redneck.
It's a redneck country cowboy straight of mine.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are. It is the 5th of November, remember. And it's a Thursday, and welcome to the Shooting Bench. Just as we closed Amy's show, and I want to mention it once again, we are seriously entertaining notions of going to 3 days a week after 5 years of being on 5 days a week. I don't know that that's what we're going to do yet. But think about it and see if you guys could live with it. And we'll make sure that we'll try to get archives, you know, at the proper time. And might even do pre-records, possibly. So we'll do one or the other and try to make sure that we still have the Shooting Bench and Living Way Out Here on at their appropriate times. So just something we just come up with a couple of days ago. We'll ponder on it a little bit and get a little feedback from you guys. But that's kind of what we're thinking about right now. I guess you guys heard yesterday we had the mass stabbing. You know, what was it? 2 weeks ago we had a mass cleavering somewhere, and we had a stabbing here on campus yesterday. And there was one guy there. There was one sheepdog out of the bunch, and it's, let's see, in the wake of recent on-campus attacks, such as the one last month at Umpqua Community College in Oregon, liberals from the president on down have come out to push for the need for greater gun control. So after yesterday's on-campus stabbing of four students at the University of California, you might expect an outcry for knife control, right? Maybe not. So the guy that was being hailed as the hero there after preventing a student armed with a hunting knife, and they made it a big point to make sure everybody knew that it was a 7-inch hunting knife, from possibly killing his intended target, now says the experience has changed his mind about guns. The construction worker, being called a hero after he stepped into the middle of a stabbing at the University of California Merced, initially thinking he was stopping a fight Wednesday, has apparently said he wished he had a gun on him at the time. Imagine my surprise. You know, I've thought about this so many times. What if what if you take somebody like any of them? I don't care. Rosie O'Donnell, Barbara Boxer, I don't care who it is. And was able to sneak into their house, get past their armed security, and put a... Yeah, I'd go as far, if I was doing it and thought I could get away with it, I'd chloroform them. And they'd wake up tied to a chair. And have maybe even a buddy or two with me. Make up all kinds of terrible things to tell them. And ask them, what would you give right now to be... loose and have a... Now, maybe that may not work. Maybe what we do is just wake them up. I have to think about it and see what would be the best way to do it. But what the point I'd want to get across to them is what would you give for a gun right now? your armed security has been neutralized. They're not available. They can't hear you. They're not here. What would they give for that? So that's like this guy says, you know what? I'm thinking maybe a gun was not such a bad idea. The this reporter, who is his soon-to-be brother-in-law of this guy, said that he changed his mind about concealed carry weapons. He wished he had one when all this unfolded for him today. He has four little kids waiting for him at home tonight, two of those from his fiance. They're getting married next year. Good news is he's back home with all of them tonight. But he got to thinking about it. He said, you know what? You know how this could have turned out? So his comments joins the debate over concealed carry weapons and firearms on college campuses. And this is a very good thing. I like this. Though an ongoing topic of discussion, the shooting at Umpqua Community College, in which nine students were shot and killed by 26-year-old Chris Harper Mercer, who later shot himself in Rosenberg, Oregon, reignited the debate over gun-free zones and gun control. So, let's see, precisely why the gun in this story is merely a footnote in the mainstream media. All right, we got it. Interesting stuff, I like it. Minnie says there's a tourist hack with knives. There was another attack in China here, I don't remember when it was, a week or two ago, where there were multiple people stabbed and slashed with knives. Here's a man with a box cutter slashes two men at a train station. Minnie's on top of it. She's got them all up there for you to see. So... The Mountain Shooter asked earlier on Amy's show what I use for trimming brass. Well, I've got two different deals that I use, and for years and years and years, starting in 1984, I started trimming brass with a little Lee trimmer. I had it set up. I was in the Army, so I knew when my spare time was and everything, and had a hell of a lot more spare time than I do now. And I set this up. There's a little deal. You can't adjust it. It is it's set, manufactured in such a way that you just can't screw it up, which is a good thing for me. And I rigged mine up on a little pencil sharpener type handle, a little rotating little handle there, and I'd set the brass in that deal, tighten the handle. I eventually went to a drill. I got it where I could chuck it up in a variable speed drill, and that really made things better. I did it on that pencil sharpener handle for years, but hold on just a second. So I got it on the drill, and that sped things up, and I did that right up until... Actually, I still have the setup still today. And then I bought one from Lyman. And the reason I bought the one from Lyman is because I was getting all hot and bothered with that 338.6, and Lee didn't make a setup for that 338.6. And in order to make the brass for the 338.6, you use 30.6 brass and neck it up. It's a one step procedure. You just run it into a sizing die and neck it up to 338 caliber, but you're going to need to trim pretty much all of them. So, I bought the Lyman and I really like it. It's fast, it's accurate, it's adjustable. And I really do like that thing. But I still keep the little Lee deal because it's foolproof. It's bombproof. And I'm always going to keep it just in case things, you know, go south and I'm not able to carry a bunch of other stuff or whatever. Well, I'll still have the ability to do some trimming if I need to. There's no telling what we may have to wind up manufacturing in the future. And that may be one little tool to add to the list of things there. So anyway, you know, I was looking at these knife deals, and I've been carrying this same Columbia River knife and tool knife for I don't remember. I got it in before I left Farmington, quite a while before I left Farmington. So I probably got this in 2008, 2009. I believe I was carrying this one when I met Amy. And it was just yesterday. Yes, Minnie, that's the correct spelling of that, Lyman. It was just yesterday that I thought, you know, I still don't like the shape of this blade. So I've been carrying it now for 5 or 6 years, and I finally got around yesterday to reshaping this blade the way I like it. It had a kind of a spear-type point on it. It still does to some degree. But it was rather rounded, and it never did have a good point on it. And I said, you know, if I ever have to stab somebody with this, I'm going to be in deep kimchi. I'm going to have to stab them pretty damn hard to get that through the breastbone there or whatever. Of course, I got another one that serves that purpose too. But anyway, I finally got around to shaving it down yesterday. And I'm right proud of it now. I wish I'd have done this a long, long time ago. I don't know what made me think of it yesterday. Kind of a dumb thing to bring up. But anyway, I did. And I've got working on these dry practice kits. And I've sent so many of those things out in the last 3 months, I guess. 3 or 4 months. I've been going through those things like hotcakes, and it's hard to keep up with them. I've got, I think I told you guys, I sent 40 of them to Fort Bragg here a while back. And I've got to get, over this weekend, I've got 5 more that I have to have ready to ship Monday. So, it's killing me. But Minnie, how did I reshape a blade? Well, the first thing I did was I have a bench grinder out there. And I know, you know, regular good knife smiths probably cringe at the thought of that, but it's the fastest way for me. And so you want to get you a glass of water sitting right there handy by it, and you want to do this a little bit at a time so you don't get the blade too hot and lose its temper. I lose my temper from time to time, whether I'm hot or not, but just you don't want that to happen to your knife blade. So I shaped it. It was on the back that I didn't like. I don't mind the cutting edge being the way it is, but the back was pretty much the same shape as the cutting edge, and it was rounded and kind of, I just didn't like it. Never have liked it, really. I just liked the size of it. So a little bit at a time, I ground it down and quenching it and cooling it off with the water every few seconds so it didn't get too hot. And once I got it roughed in pretty much the way I wanted it, then I went over to my little, I've got a 1 inch or inch and a quarter wide belt sander, and done the final shaping on that, and put contoured the top of it a little bit with that belt sander. So I really, really like it now. Don't ask me why I waited 6 years to do this, but I did. But now I'm a happy camper. I've got it just the way I want it. You know, an old the Tinker's the one to talk to. He's the one that can show you, and I think he's probably talked about it on shows before, about making knives. And I know very little about that. I could probably get by and make something that would be, functional, but certainly not to any degree of hardening and everything like the Tinker's could show you how to do it. Although, I do have a friend that is very, very astute, a very professional type blacksmith that does that kind of stuff. So, but Yak, I knew that anybody that's done that would cringe when you said bench grinder, but it was just It was just more than I wanted to take off with a belt grinder. I didn't want to take that much time. I've got so much stuff to do. And as long as you keep it cool, I didn't figure that it would be all that bad to use the grinder. That way I could get it done. You know, it took less than 10 minutes to get it exactly the way I wanted it. And if I'd used as much as I needed to take off, at the highest point, there was probably over a quarter of an inch or around a quarter of an inch of material that I wanted to take off. And unless I wanted to change belts on that belt sander, then that would have just been way, way too long for me. I gouged it out on the bench grinder and then smoothed it up. It looks pretty nice now. I like it. Come out, and I've got a good point on it the way I like it. So anyway, the long slide, I'm glad that guy took care of you, or that gal. There was that shop where you got that. I don't know how it is now, but that was originally put in there by a woman. And as I recall the story, one of my knife distributors that I used when I was back in New Mexico supplied knives to that place, and he told me the story. And evidently, her husband walked out and left her with nothing. Just took everything, and for some reason, I guess they had some knives or something that he didn't take. I don't remember the story exactly, word for word, but as it had something to do with the husband leaving, and she had no means to provide for herself. So she set up this little shop and had a few knives in there, and it's turned into, unquestionably, the largest knife shop in Arizona. It's on I-40, just east of Holbrook, and it's over on the north side of the freeway. And it's called, what was that long slide? I forgot. It's not Knife World. It's, or maybe it is Knife World. I have to look it up. But long slide will probably throw it in there. He'll remember what it is. But anyway, she has set up a knife emporium, an enterprise that has got every conceivable type of knife. I haven't been in there for years. I don't know how well equipped it is anymore. But it was an amazing place. If you like knives, that place had lots of them. And it wasn't just, there's so many places on the interstate up here that have junk. She's got her share of junk in there. She's got some cheap, $6 Pakistani knives and stuff. But she's got a lot of Bokers and K-Bars and Columbia River Knife and Tool. Got all the big names in there, plus a lot of junk also. All right, Knives Unlimited is what Longslide said. I didn't remember that being the case. I wonder if I still have the deal that I sent you here. Let me see here. Hang on just a minute. Let me check and see. I'll look for it during the break and see. I don't remember. I thought I sent a deal to you. I'll see if I can bring that up here. All right, well, it's coming. Okay. Well, I think with all that being said, I'm going to go to a break. We're about 5 minutes early right here. But I got to check on something. We've got some propane issues. I'll tell you what. I took some pictures. We haven't got a lot of snow, but it snowed quite a bit last night, and cold as hell. It really changed. That rainstorm that you were hearing last night on the show, that was probably our last rainstorm for the year. That was the storm that brought in winter. There was a little bit of snow when we got up yesterday morning, just a splash, and then this morning when we got up, there was probably 2 or 3 inches, but and it turned off colder than heck, and it didn't melt, so It's going to be an interesting winter, I think. Luckily, we got lots of wood in, so we're going to be okay for the whole winter. We need to probably get our propane guy up here one more time, but we're doing pretty good right now. Anyway, I'll be back here in just a minute.
Revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people. Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We called them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as the law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, soul in them hills that is waiting for me there.
All right, we're back. There's another story here that kind of goes along with the one we talked about just a minute ago about the hero that's changed his mind about guns. Well, here's one that didn't need to have her mind changed. She was already there. And it's a brand new story. Just came out today. Young, attractive, 21 years old. Doesn't appear to be much different than any other new mom at this point. But when some home invaders kicked her door in, as she was feeding her four-month-old son, the sheepdog got away. She met these guys head-on in a gun battle, drove them out of the house, even though 21-year-old girl, new mom, feeding a baby, even though she took two rounds in this exchange of gunfire. She managed to climb back up the stairs and check on her kid before she dialed 911 and then started taking care of her wounds. Now, luckily for her and her family, she was a combat medic in the National Guard. So that helped in a couple of ways, probably to help her have the proper mindset to deal with the situation to begin with, and then also to help take care of her wounds. She's going to need one more surgery, and I think she's supposed to go in for that tomorrow. Let's see. Everybody says the neighbors have really embraced the family now, and they said she'll need at least one more surgery. And the mother said she was scared to death to think what those guys might have done to come in there ready to you know, they weren't just there to rob something. They come in with guns blazing, ready to go. And they just happened to pick the wrong house. And I love these happy endings. Jeez. Anyway, one of her fellow soldiers has set up a GoFundMe account, and I'm going to put the link to that in the chat room. And if any of you are able to and wouldn't mind sending a few bucks to help this young sheepdog out, then there's a link there in the chat room for that. For those of you not in the chat room, this is, it's www.gofundme.com, and pay attention to these last few letters. You might want to write them down. The first is www.gofundme.com/358QHYDG. Quebec Hotel Yankee Delta Golf. And if you can help this young sheepdog, I bet she'd be greatly appreciated to help get through her medical bills here that she's going to have. But I thought that was an awesome story. You know, looking at some of the comments after that, and overwhelmingly they are positive that the girl had a gun and had the presence of mind to use it and all that. I found it, and I don't know how I managed to stumble into this today, but. And I don't know how to stumble back into it. I'll have to try to find it and see how I did that. But I found some comments from people that were not friends with me on Facebook that were made, I mean, some of them just recently in the last few weeks. But a lot of them came back from 2012 after the whole sign fiasco and stuff. And I just had flashbacks here of all of the unbelievably hateful, snotty, vulgar, pathetic comments because of the sign. And it was, let's see. I've got some of these. This was May 7th. Of when? It must have been 2012. All these 2012. So I don't know how I stumbled into them. It's in Messenger, and I don't know how to find them again. But anyway, it was funny. I get a kick out of these guys. Let's see. Let me go in here and check the... the hot shot, that's right, and I've been there, you know, with and most of us have at some point in our lives have been there where adrenaline has taken up the slack, whether it was just being scared from anything, and those are the people that are able to flip cars over off of people and stuff like that and run faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive, and able to jump tall buildings with a single bound, and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's that adrenaline. It's an amazing feature that God has provided us with. Adrenaline and shock are two exceedingly useful features for us here. So, all right, let me... I'm looking at trying to find some, if you guys could help me with this. I've looked around, I'm having a hard time finding any. It's been probably 2 or 3 months since I've looked. But I'm looking to find some, if there is such a thing, I'm trying to find some inexpensive 30 caliber armor-piercing projectiles. Just looking for the bullets alone, not the loaded ammo. I've got a little bit of loaded ammo, not very much. And I'd like to find some of that and load a bunch of them up and put them away just for hard times in case you ever need them. They're fun to play with out in the rocks and stuff, but you never know when you might need one. So if you guys have a supplier or something, like I said, I haven't looked for 2 or 3 months. I haven't really scoured the internet real hard for it, but I thought maybe I'd ask you guys first. Might save me a little bit of scouring. Remember the other night we talked about the federal law now that's making it where if you say you're a girl, you want to be a girl, you think you're a girl, or maybe if you just want to use that excuse to get in a girl's bathroom, shower room, they're not only allowing it, but mandating it. Well, if you remember about two or three months ago, they have this, Houston, Texas, has a queer mayor, woman, and, well, I don't know if she thinks she's a woman or not, but I don't know which half of the couple she is, but, she had had this addendum or an initiative to allow people that identify themselves as the opposite gender, whatever they really are, but they think they're really not, to use each other's bathrooms. The whole thing is just so absurd to me. It's just amazingly stupid. But anyway, the day before yesterday, the Houston voters said, no thank you. I think we don't need to do that. I think all of our kids are plumbed correctly and wired correctly, and we'll just keep doing things the way we've been doing it if it's all the same. So the president of the Texas Values Action said, "This is a national game changer. Today's vote is a massive victory for common sense, safety, and religious freedom, not just in Houston, but all over all of Texas. The eyes of the nation were on Houston, and the people sent a clear message and soundly rejected this intentionally deceptive and dangerous ordinance. Millions of dollars pouring in from the national LGBT extremists, an out-of-control mayor, and a sustained media onslaught could not overcome the tireless efforts of Houston pastors and people of faith standing for common sense, safety, and liberty. I was born and raised in Houston, and I had faith Houstonians would do the right thing, and they did. This vote will impact the nation and shows once again that the people still support common sense Texas values." So Texas has taken the lead here. They've taken charge of this. We need to make sure that some other states, other cities, other areas, jurisdictions, whatever, can hopefully they'll display the same degree of common sense, and we'll get this nipped in the bud here. Eddie Crump, you may not have been here when we talked about this the other night, but yeah, that's all it takes to get in the shower. You just walk in and say, "You know what? I really don't think I'm a boy." And that hangy downy, you know, don't pay attention to that, because I think I'm not a boy, I think I'm a girl. And therefore, I should be allowed to use the girls' bathroom, because I'm not comfortable in there with all those men, those boys. I feel better if I want to in with the girls. So, yeah, that's all it takes. You just gotta, if you can convince them that you identify with the opposite sex, then you're free to go into the girls' shower. So, alrighty, that's all it takes. Well, there we go. Mini Men Pen, go to bed or something, would you? Jeez, you see what she put up there? There's a petition there that seeks to move the Super Bowl what is that, 51, from Houston after the vote to repeal this LGBT rights law. Unbelievable. USA Today. So I'm gonna open this up and check it out, because I mean, this is 2 days old, and look at them already. Billions of dollars being poured into the city of Houston, which is scheduled to host Super Bowl 51, roughly 15 months from now, following the 2016 NFL season. But city may have to consider doing more than improve infrastructure and promise memorable fan experience if it wants the event to steer clear of controversy. I can't even... Well, I'm not even going to go there. The vote apparently was pretty decisive to repeal the law. And evidently this is probably... You've heard of change.org, right? That's Obama's bunch of buddies there. Sparked the initiation of a change.org petition seeking to move the 2017 Super Bowl unless Houston reinstates HERO. HERO is the Human Rights Ordinance. Alrighty then. By pulling the game from Houston, the NFL can demonstrate its commitment to equality, freedom, and justice in a truly meaningful way. You have got to be kidding me. To think that the NFL would even consider getting on board with this is astonishing to me. And I don't know that they have. I don't know that they have considered it. I would like to see the NFL come out with a statement saying, you know, go take a flying leap at a rolling donut on a pebbly beach. We're not interested in your whining about this, so just stuff it. Peanut Rider, what if you turn the part of the gilding metal from around the penetrator off and load it into a 300 mm? Now, why would you do that? I'm not questioning that, but why would you want to take the gilding metal away from the penetrator and put it in 300 Win Mag? I mean, it'd fit the 300 Win Mag the way it is. I'm missing something out of your post there. I'm not understanding why you would want to do that. If it's already armor piercing, why would you want to take the jacket material off around the penetrator? Now, the stuff that I had for my 338.6, the tungsten part of it was highly visible in front, but it was obviously a smaller diameter than the bore, so you don't rip your lands and grooves out of it. Eddie, you're there, buddy. That's all you got to say, sweetheart. You can go use the girl's shower if you want. That's all you got to tell them. All right. Well, Goat Moog, thank you for doing that. I'll check that out. I would like to have a handful, and of course, a dollar a piece is a little steep, but anyway, I'll check that out, Peanut Rider, and see. I'll try some of that. I've got a few, but not very many. I'd like to have a hundred or so of them. But all right, well, let's see here. We run out of gun things to talk about. Let me get back over here and see what's going on. I've got all kinds of things opening up here that don't need to be opening up. So let me get over here real quick. This has been quite the day here, the last couple of days, with the weather being like it is, and we have an operation coming forward here pretty quick. I can't tell you too much about it right now, but I'll let you know when it's available for public information, and you guys will be the very first to know, besides me. There's a story, and this is kind of a longer story, but I'm going to reduce it down to time that we have left here. This is about a guy He was he Army or Marines? Let's see. His name was, let's see. Well, I missed it. Anyway, Lieutenant Nick Rowe and Sergeant Dan Pitzer, two of them. He was, and I know I'm screwing this up. Second government. Okay. That's why I'm screwing it up, because it's on the second page. This guy's name, I don't have his first name here, but it's spelled V-E-R-S-A-C-E, and I don't know if that's Versace or Versailles or whatever it is. He was captured and taken into a prison in Vietnam, deep in the jungle with a couple other guys. Tried to escape four times, but failed each time. And he was had insulted the Vietnamese during all these indoctrination sessions. Tried to use the Geneva Convention to get out of, to help them out. The last time that they heard his voice, he was singing "God Bless America" as loud as he could. He had apparently been such trouble to the Vietnamese. They couldn't break him. They couldn't stop him. He had untreated machine gun wounds, bullet wounds, and they just couldn't stop him. They his remains have never been recovered, but they're from witnesses there that was captivity with him. They have assured that he has been killed, and there's a headstone in Arlington that stands over an empty grave. And if you're ever over there, you can look in section MG108 and look for Colonel, and I don't know how to say this, but I think it's like Versace or something like that. His parents had tried twice unsuccessfully going to Vietnam and try to get closure to this, and they never could get it. He was awarded the Medal of Honor. Nominations to award him the Medal of Honor were started in 1969, but they failed, and he was given the Silver Star instead. And some friends of, here's what he called himself, Rocky. They kept on with this, and they reinitiated this again in 1999. And there was some language added to the 2002 Defense Authorization Act that ended this standoff and authorized him to have the Congressional Medal of Honor. Now, yes, he was captured, and there was war going on at the time. And who more deserving of the Congressional Medal of Honor than someone who would demonstrate to the his fellow soldiers there, the people around him, his comrades, to demonstrate to them, they will not break me, I will not comply. That is the ultimate "I will not comply" right there. He told him, go take a flying leap. And Eddie Crump, yes, that'll work in your workplace. If they have a question with it, just tell them to give me a call, and I'll get them straightened up there for you. He had tried, like I said, what got him captured to start with is he provided covering fire for a bunch of other people to get away. And I guess he had killed a ton of them, and himself caught, I believe they said four rounds. I think they said four, not two. And they captured him and two other guys, and he was what an amazing example he set for these people. With untreated bullet wounds, still never gave up. He laughed at them. Tried humiliating them. He would never give up. And they finally, you know what? We're not getting anywhere with this guy. This is like Anthony Bosworth. You know, we're just going to have to kill him. We can't do anything with him. They couldn't break him. So as far as I'm concerned, yeah, absolutely. Give him the Congressional Medal of Honor. Give him two of them. I think that's a fine example for his men there. Okay, Liberty Lounge tomorrow night. If we happen to decide to go to 3 days a week, I will give you at least a couple of weeks' notice. And especially through the holiday period, that may turn out to be a better deal. You know, maybe I'll do it for... maybe we'll just do it and get back to our regular schedule in January. I don't know. But I'll talk to Amy about it. Amy is run ragged here sometimes. She tries so hard to do everything that that she feels like she's supposed to do, and including taking care of the family and the animals and her job, and then she had shingles and all this stuff, and she feels like she lets you guys down sometimes when she is not on time and not prepared properly, even though she always does a magnificent job of getting through it, and I don't think anybody knows that she's not prepared. But the Peanut Rider, I'll check into that, and thank you for putting that up there. So I think it would be certainly good for her, and I'm going to tell you the truth, I wouldn't mind having a break. I love to do this show, but I wouldn't mind taking a little bit of a break here, at least for a little while. Maybe get through the holiday period and then get back to normal or something. But all right, thank you, Susie B. I'll take that comment and give it to Amy. We've got a few comments that we'll share with her. And like I said, especially through the holiday season, we might back off of it a little bit and maybe get back to normal afterwards. But, all right, well, I'm going to scoot on out of here, and hope you guys enjoyed it. I was kind of stumbling a little bit. We've had a heck of a day, but we managed to get through it. So I'll see you tomorrow night for Liberty Lounge. That will be still 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 Eastern. However, if you're an Arizona listener, the time changed for everybody else, so we had to change our times to accommodate the rest of the world. So now we're on Mountain Time. We're the same. We're not on Mountain Time. We're the same as Mountain Time. So Arizona listeners, 9 o'clock tomorrow night for Liberty Lounge. And we'll see you then. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.